how many of you have been at your wit's end? How many of you have been at that place where the month is longer than your money? How many parents have been up in the midnight hour and baby girl and baby boy haven't been home yet? How many married folks have been in the middle of the night and something ain't working out in your marriage? How many people have been in a sick bed and the doctor didn't know quite what to tell you about how to get up? How many people have been through something with Jesus? Hadn't he brought you out? Didn't he make a way? Won't he do it in your life? Why are you sitting down when it's time to give God praise and worship? Isn't he worthy of praise? Isn't he worthy of honor? Didn't he bring you out from where you've been? Hallelujah!
Thank you.
God, we bless and honor your name today. You're worthy, God. You are worthy all by yourself. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our worship. We've been through too much not to worship you. We thank you for bringing us through. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for blessing us. When our souls were bound for hell, we thank you for saving us. We thank you that your blood will never lose its power. And now, God, we come to that moment where we hear more from you. Speak to us right now, Lord. Encourage our hearts. Lift up our bowed down heads. Remake us, remold us. Form us, Lord God, into the disciples that you died for. Get your preacher out of your way. Speak directly to somebody today, Lord God, who needs to hear a word from you. We will be grateful, give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. To our visitors, you all don't worry about babies crying in here. Babies learn how to be in church by being in church. And they actually helped me preach. In the church one time where the pastor asked the parents to call to take the babies out of church, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It's so good to be back at the Grove. The book of Acts. In the 20th chapter, starting at verse 6 and following, reads this way. Got me up here crying, I can't see straight. But he's been awfully good. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. We came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode for 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And Paul was long preaching. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I want to preach for a few minutes from the topic Thanatopsis. Some people are thinking, wondering whether I'm preaching in a new language. Thanatopsis is a word that I first encountered by reading the poetry of the great American poet William Cullen Bryant. New England-born great philosopher, not particularly known for his Christian discipleship, wrote this poem on considering the matter of death. It literally translates a view of death. Thana being about death, Opsis being about seeing. And it is a lengthy poem. It takes 15 minutes to recite it or read it. But it's a little bit like the book of Ecclesiastes, where somebody is considering the topic, I mean sitting in his corner, thinking about the matter of death. Have you ever thought about death? Death looks a lot different to us as we consider death than I believe dying ever looked to the dying. And there's a reason for us when we come to funerals, why there's so much weeping and wailing. And if you haven't lived your life right, gnashing of teeth. You've been to some of these funerals. And that reason is because our lives have not been lived according to the gospel. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? You haven't forgiven somebody. Mm-hmm. And now they're laying in the casket. And you never will get to forgive them. You've done something to somebody, or somebody has done something to you. And the reconciliation that Christ came to the world to create between us and God never happened between you and that person. And now they're going to be lowered in the grave. We think about death. And listen, as we think about death, we're all wondering what's going to happen to me. You ready to hear the answer? You're going to die. Mm-hmm. It's coming. Jesus made it out alive. Yes. I'm lying. Jesus made it out dead. Yes, but he was resurrected. Yes, sir. There's no way to leave this earth for those of us who are mere mortals unless we pass through death unto eternal life. And the story is really a story about resurrection. This idea that if we believe, death is simply a way through to life eternal, stopping off place. And so for us, death doesn't have to look like it did for William Cullen Bryant. It needs to look like something different. And if you see, watch this, if you see death a different way, then you can see your life. Amen. Yeah, amen. A different way.
Yes, sir.
Why are you going through all this, Pastor? Because I got a message I want to preach today while Pastor Tammy is home in South Georgia with her people who have gone through a death and a hurricane. Mm-hmm. About youth ministry. Pastor making some turns today, Annie. I know. This story is, for me, a quintessential story for those of us in the kingdom of God who have children among us, young people among us. It is a message to the young people, for sure. I don't know whether you've heard the story before, but here is this young dude, Eutychus. What is he, 14, 15? I don't know. They say he's a young man, not a lad. It means he's not a boy. He's getting up there. He's probably got a little bass in his voice. You all know what happens to boys in that summer where they, all of a sudden they're talking down here. You wonder. Eutychus is among them. I don't know what Eutychus would look like 2,000 years later. Whether Eutychus would have an iPhone 10 and not even be able to talk to you because he's so into Snapchat and Facebook and Insta, whatever.
Right.
Or what's that crazy video game they all playing now? Fortnite. What? Whether Eutychus came to church with his pants sagging or not. I don't know. I don't know whether Eutychus had parents that made him get up and go to worship that day. And Eutychus had been in church the whole week before doing Passover. And now they were having a post-Passover revival on Communion Sunday. And had an out-of-town preacher who came and preached till midnight. Paul was hollering. I wonder if Paul who, well. It's in me. I might get there one Sunday. E flat. Put me in E flat. No. I wonder if Paul had been hollering all night long, and because everything that was going on in church was irrelevant to Eutychus, Eutychus wasn't just in the back of the church chewing bubble gum and sending text messages and looking at his phone, but Eutychus was up not in the second balcony, but in the third balcony, wherever they were. So bad was it for Eutychus that this young man was in the windowsill sitting. Y'all not understanding me. In the windowsill. I'm hoping that he was just bored and wanted to get out. But what if it's worse and the church was so crowded that Eutychus didn't have anywhere to sit?
Yes, sir.
And he's up in the windowsill with one foot hanging out, leaning back, and the preacher's preaching, and the elders are praying. And the choirs are singing, Lord Jesus, and it's hot in the church. I can smell the collard greens downstairs, but it's not over yet. And they're preaching stuff that I don't care about because it's not relevant to me. And how can they be still talking about that when the world I know good and well is not working that way? I wish they could have come to school with me to see it. Adults are so silly and so crazy. Why are they stuck in their own world and they don't understand what I'm doing? And I feel like I need to be doing some stuff because the world out here is looking awfully attractive. Maybe I'll reach out and get me some of that. And I'm tired. Because I've been out hanging out all night. My mom and dad didn't know where I was because the gospel's not relevant, but I feel the world calling me. And in the midst of all this, let me get up from this place. Eutychus falls asleep, falls out the window, and is dead. Dead. You can't fall three floors and stay alive. Dead. Jesus really did die. There was a crucifixion. He was pronounced dead, buried in a grave, dead. Nobody gets out alive, but we don't want our young people to die before us, do we? And I'm imagining this is not in the text. But I wonder how y'all would act. Excuse me, how we would act. I'm among you. If we had one of our youth in the middle of worship at the revival next week. Dean truly is preaching too long. Y'all have shouted too much. You have danced a hole in the carpet. Sweating. Somebody started speaking in tongues, frothing at the mouth, rolling over stuff. If the Lord leads you that way, it is all right with me. Please don't misunderstand. But if our shouting and crowding around Jesus is pushing our young people out a window, we have a problem. And I wonder if we would run over to the window, just going over there. Excuse me, I'm going to the back. Y'all don't need to see me, just listen. If I would just stand at this window and catch a view of death. Y'all with me? The first thing I would do is look out the window and see, have my heart respond to, let my eyes show me the result of a situation that we're in that leads to the death of one of our kids. And I want to put before you today that we are in precisely that same situation. And it's not just one kid. What's worse, it's not just the kids who come to Emory Grove. At no point in the history of humankind have our young people been more disconnected from us. I know, listen, I'm 57, I get it. They get on my nerves sometimes. I own it. The music is too loud. I don't know when it became too loud, because it didn't used to be too loud, but it's too loud. What I know for sure is it doesn't make any sense to me. And it goes from not making sense sometimes to just being outright offensive to who I am and what I believe. I don't know what you're listening to, but if it got bitch or hoe in it, you ain't supposed to be listening to that. Hear what I'm telling you? Somebody just got mad because I cussed in church. They're going to be all right. You can't internalize in music that which is against your person. And if it's not music that tells you what God says about you, it's a devilish lie, and you're in trouble when you hear it. So the music works on me. I have another confession to make, adults, and I'm speaking for you, and I know I am. I do not know how to work a game controller. You can put it in my hand. I think I might be able to hold it, but I can't make my thumbs work that fast. I don't know what the green button is from the yellow button or the red button. I don't know. The button versus the joystick, do I turn it a certain? I don't know. I don't play video. I don't have time for video. I'm too busy to play a video game, much less a game that's about killing somebody. That's the world that's out here. It's in the water out here. If you raise a child, Raven, your child that's going to be born is going to be born into a world that is jacked up. If it wasn't just for the world, there's even more. Quiet as it's kept, our relationships with our children aren't that good. You can go ahead and squirm. It's all right. You know good and well you can't do to your child, to discipline your child, what your parents did to you. Y'all say amen before I think I'm not in the right church. When you broke the rules in Barbara's house, a ton of bricks was getting ready to fall on your head. And by the time she got done, you would have wished it was a ton of bricks instead of that switch. Y'all don't remember. And when it got good, she was switching. Go the other way. Talking to you, I told you not to get back. I worked too. But as soon as you talk in a strong way to your child, the school is telling them, call Child Protective Services. Mm-hmm. And so you're reduced to a timeout. Wish I would. So we're feeling more and more out of control in our houses because we understand our children less and less. They're doing more and more that we don't know and understand or agree with. And the distance is becoming greater and greater. That's in the house. Kids don't understand what we do for a living. Our occupations, we don't farm anymore.
What does my dad do? We go out there and plant that corn. He's a molecular scientific whatever.
And God forbid you sell something for a living. Try and explain to a child how sales work. Some of us aren't working at all, and our kids wonder why. Mm-hmm. It is different out there for them. And we feel more and more disconnected when God sent them to us to connect with us for the purpose as parents to teach them while we have them to be who God created and called them to be. That's your job, in case you were wondering what your role is as a parent. Why did I have children? So you can teach them to be who God called and created them to be while you have them, because they don't belong to you. And so they're disconnected. The world doesn't treat them right, and they're disconnected from our houses and from who we are, and we conveniently send them off to schools to educate them. 162,000 kids go to school every single day in Montgomery County, Maryland. Check this. Fully 25% of them have so little to eat that the school has to feed them. Mm-hmm. Most of them look like you. Or they come from Central America. Mm-hmm. And they're at the bottom of every single academic category in all the public schools in this county. You name it. Look at SATs. Look at math achievement. Look at English achievement. Who are they sending to the principal? Who are they suspending? There was something about the connection between me and my mother, although times it burned my behind up and maybe left a welt on my behind from time to time. And when that wasn't working, my crazy uncles would put their size 13 in my behind. Something about that connection kept me on course at school so that I knew that certain things would not happen and that education was valuable so that I could get through school and get an education and become something. And now I'm coming to your pew. Schools don't want them. The world doesn't treat them right. We're not connected with them. And we bring them to church to preach an irrelevant gospel. Mm-hmm. Most of our kids don't know much beyond Jesus loves me, this I know. Here's where I want you to check yourself, and I'm going to be done in a minute. Our Sunday school, I'm just going to talk about Emory Grove. I can't talk about any other church. Is anemic. It is without power. Not because we don't have teachers, but because we don't have parents who will send their kids to Sunday school. The place where we can teach them the gospel and build relationships that matter to them as disciples, our parents are not bringing the kids. Why? Is it because you don't believe? Is it because you've lost control of your household? Is it that you believe that there's nothing relevant here for them? I just love a quiet church. For whatever reason, they're not here. Maybe they just played too much basketball, football, soccer on Saturday, and they have a game during church time on Sunday. And you believe that you can get them an academic scholarship by playing basketball, and you don't trust God to make a way for a college education. Pardon me, like he made a way for yours.
And so they're not here for Sunday school. In the time I've been here, 5 years now, count them. 5 times 365 days I've been here. You all tell me I'm a good pastor. You buy me gifts on Pastor whatever Appreciation Month, and I appreciate it so much. But I feel like a failure. Hear me saying this to you. As a leader of this congregation, that there is no active youth group at Emory Grove Church. Not in 5 years have we had it. So I apologize to you as your pastor. I failed. I've been trying, but I haven't done what I need to do. Everybody take a breath. Whew. There's good news. We have sown a seed, and I wanted to preach this when Tammy wasn't here, because we need, she's new. I need to have a, you know, you had those house conversations around your table. You bring all the family together and just get it out there. That's what this conversation is today. We need to change the way we do what we do at Emory Grove Church as it relates to you. It's just as simple as that. Our kids are dying for us. And I invite you to stay at that bus stop take any hour in 24 hours and sit at the bus stop over here or sit at the bus stop here. And I invite you to take your calculator and count the number of kids running up and down 124 who we are not reaching because we are not relevant to them. Most kids would rather do anything than be inside the sanctuary. Because we are like the church in Troas, shout until midnight, and kids are sitting in the windowsill on the way to death. And we are standing at the window looking at kids, having our own view of their death. And I just have to be honest with you, I don't believe that's what God has called us to do. I don't believe God has called us to that. And here's why. Here's why. The gospel that has transformed me is too important to the kids who are coming through here. I can tell you my story, but I want you, adults, to think about where you were when the blood of Jesus found you. And all the things that had to happen to get you from that place to now when you call yourself holy. Choosing my words carefully. Because if you call yourself holy, you're lying to yourself anyway. Y'all looking at me like I said something. I'm just stating the truth. There's not a holy person in this sanctuary, especially your pastor. But there were some people who God sent, to cross my path that brought me from where I was a little further in my righteousness in my life. It was in a youth ministry. It was in a Sunday school class. It was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be, and I ran into somebody else who believed. It was somebody at school. God would send somebody to move me from where I was to where God wanted us to be. And I'm thinking, why would that need to happen anywhere outside the church when we're in the business of transforming lives? We say it, it's in our mission. Transforming, right? It's there. We have come here because we are changed so that God can fill us to do some changing. We think there's a little asterisk under there and small print at the bottom, everybody but youth. When the mission ought to say transforming youth and a small asterisk and everybody else. That's where we live. Emory Grove Church will be dead in a few years' time. Unless we figure out a new way to do church. So what do we have to change to do that? We have put, and thank God for our administrative council, our leaders who make decisions for our church between charge conferences, have decided to place a spiritual bet on our kids. We have laid a bunch of money on the table in the 2019 budget for the Greater Gaithersburg Youth Ministry. Amen. Reverend Brantley is here. We have paid for the resource. The vision and the structure for the ministry is here. We're not just going to isolate our kids at Emory Grove. We're going to be working in three churches at the same time to do youth ministry together. And we're going to be evangelistic. We are going to schools to do mentoring in four middle schools around here and invite those kids to be with us in worship. Amen. I don't want to upset anybody in here, but there's no Negro section in church in heaven. I'm not doing anything prophetic. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. The Jesus who we want to return is returning as King of the Nations. All of them. Light skin, dark skin, cafe mocha, high yellow, reddish. Yeah. So we're going to be intentionally multicultural. We got white over there in Durwood. We got black here at Emory Grove. We got Latino over there at Epworth. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, our community looks like that. Go to any school. Check them out. Show up around recess time at the elementary school. Show up when the buses empty out at the middle and high school. You will see what I'm talking about. Our structure requires that while Reverend Brantley is going to pastor all of it, that every single one of our churches has a youth coordinator. Brother Jamonte Lawson, who has a passion for young people, particularly those who are on the margin, and mentoring, is going to be our coordinator. He didn't grow up in Emory Grove. Never saw the dew drop in. Ain't been to camp meeting. Didn't come from one of our big families. Ain't from here. Down to Tidewater, Petersburg, somewhere down there. But he has a heart for Jesus. And he loves God and he loves our kids. Will we as a church do what we need to do instead of standing at the window having William Cullen Bryant stand atop us? Will we go down on the floor where our youth are laying out on the ground, dying and bleeding, and be like Paul? Instead of preaching all night long, at least take a break from our routine and from our regular whatever it is that we're doing, and go down and lay hands and speak life into our kids. Take a minute to get one-on-one and get in relationship. Oh, I wish I could tell you. It is the currency of life in the kingdom of God. You can't do anything for the kingdom without relationships with people. With what young person do you have a relationship? Really, that where they know your heart and know all of your history. Even the stuff we don't want to know. The kind of stuff that doesn't make you look good in church, but you went through it and you're not telling anybody. Why would we hang our kids out to have that kind of, make those kind of mistakes without telling them, I run over there and there's a landmine, you're going to blow up if you go that way? It doesn't make you look worse, it makes you look better. I've had youth come back to me 10 and 20 years later and thank me not because I was a great teacher of the gospel or a great preacher, for being authentic with them. That's what they need, somebody who's going to be in authentic relationship with them, that sees what God is doing in them, gets in relationship with them, and moves them where God wants them to go. With whom are you in relationship, really? So my charge to us today, as we stand this ministry up, it isn't going to be perfect. We never did this before. It's big and complicated. Yes, it is. It's expensive. Yep, all that's true. But as God has given me the vision, I believe from God that it is the right thing for us to do. It will die in the water unless you all get around it, support it, be intentional about. I'm not asking you for any more money. That's already in the budget. What I'm asking you for is your children. Rouse them out of bed. say no to some stuff. Listen, you might have to tell some coaches he's not playing on Sunday. We love soccer and it's important to us, but we're going to do that Monday through Saturday. We made arrangements or making arrangements with Sister Thelma Nolan next door so that our gathering for the whole thing can be in the community and not in a church. That's how irrelevant we are. The music will have a little bit more bump in it. Don't y'all act like y'all don't understand how that works. I think about it, I can't do it anymore. But the same gospel that saved a wretch like me, I believe all the grace that God poured out to get me out of hell's hole, that there's still some left over for our kids. There's still just enough left over for every one of them that is outside the kingdom of God. If we would yet allow God to work through us to reach them, there's enough grace left over. Listen, I'm going to quote Paul, that their lives are still in them. They're not dead. Grades might be bad, not dead. Behavior might be stank, not dead. Clothes might be too tight and sagging too much, not dead. They're always in the video game and in the media, not dead. God has a purpose and a will for their lives, and at some point they're going to be giving God glory in the way God created them to give God glory. And our church is going to be a whole different place when we do. Will you hear from God? Will you hear from God to obey God for the life of our young people? As you stand to your feet.